So the Career Technical Education Program at Union City High School focuses on just that, right? We focus on preparing students for life after high school, trying to get their foot in the door, possibly before they go to college and maybe major in it, just kind of see whether or not they like it, or sometimes go right into the workforce. We have several different programs here at the high school. We have our hospitality program, which is one of the most visible ones because people love food. So we have a food truck here. We are doing a grand opening of our student cafe, the Sip and Soar, actually December 16th. And in these programs, they start off usually sophomore year, and then we kind of track them with specific courses, and along the way, they'll earn certifications, industry-specific certifications. They'll also earn dual enrollment. But then the most interesting part, and this is where you said, you know, we talked about the visibility, is we're really big here on experiential learning and work-based learning here at the high school. So when we look at the workforce continuum, you know, there's the career exploration part, getting students interested in these careers. And then it's the training, and then the end part, which is putting them in jobs. And we do a really good job here at the high school of keeping the jobs here in the high school. So you've seen us on, you featured us with the food truck. Like I said, we're opening up a cafe. Some of the other programs that we have here, we have our business and entrepreneurship academy, which you're also a advisor member on that one. The course sequence there is the students get introduced to business. And then we have a school retail store that we're opening up. We're in the process of remodeling the store right now. We have some industrial equipment for a DTF printer to print screens. We have embroidery machines. We're ordering POS systems. Once again, experiential learning, getting the students not only manufacturing it, but these entrepreneurship students are running the back end stuff for these school-based enterprises. And then we also have a tailor shop in our fashion academy. So at the high school, we have four school-based enterprises. We have the cafe, we have the food truck, we have the tailor shop, and then we have the school retail store. And while each content-specific students run their specific school-based enterprise, the business students have a really great opportunity of working with all of them together. So not only do they run the retail store, but they do the marketing, the advertising, the books for all the school-based enterprise. And what it really does is it lends itself to this interdisciplinary curriculum and learning where we're all striving for the same thing. We have students working on one giant project. Let's say the food truck, for instance, right? We have the culinary kids designing the menus. The business students are marketing and doing the ordering and the pricing and the food costing. And then we have our graphic design students coming up with the logos. So all these, you know, hundreds of students sometimes working towards the same goal. And it really brings everyone together. It makes the education itself enriched. And the experiences the students are getting in these programs are, I want to say, second to none. I'll talk, if you don't mind, I'll talk a little bit about the culinary ones on more specifics. The hospitality one, there are three courses. We have intro to hospitality, then they go to intro to cooking, and then their capstone course is called professional cooking. Along the way, they get six certifications. They get ServSafe manager, ServSafe food handler. They get their hotel and lodging certification. They get their food and allergen one. And then they also earn 9 college credits. We have a partnership with dual enrollment with Hudson County Community College. They get to the professional cooking class, and then we kind of break them into teams. One team works on the food truck. Another team works in the cafe. And then we have a third team, and this is one of the most interesting ones. The third team is get hired as interns. We have a partnership with a nonprofit organization from Atlanta, Georgia called the Navigate Foundation. And they have partnered with Compass Group. Compass Group is one of the largest food providers in the world.
For sure. I know they're all over. They're in every airport, every university from New Jersey all the way to California. Or no, international as well.
Their main office is actually in London, and they're in every country. And so Compass is the mother group and mother company. They have 27 or 29 subsidiary companies. So I'll give you an example. You talked about they have a company specific for sporting events. They have a company specific for hospitals. They have a company specific just for education, like the one here that we're our vendor here at the high school that provides food is Chartwell's K-12. So they have this partnership with Compass, and they hire our students. They hire our interns as paid interns. So our students, they go through this vetting process, that third cohort. where they get hired through Compass. Now they're paid employees in Compass, and we actually work in Chartwell's during school hours. So we have a small cohort of students who actually get paid to come to school. And they get additional certifications, they get additional training. When they finish, they have the opportunity for a approved apprenticeship from the American Culinary Federation. It's the same apprenticeship that all the colleges use. Hudson County Community College, Culinary Institute of America uses apprenticeship. So the students have this amazing opportunity. And then my favorite part, honestly, is once they graduate, they have a little asterisk next to their name within the Compass group themselves. And they are more likely to get a job when they apply. So not only are we providing with them training and they're getting paid and they're getting certifications and college credits, but then we're almost guaranteeing them employment with the single largest food provider in the world.
A lot of the feedback that when we showed the culinary program is people were saying that this looks like the future of education and what education should look like. So can you kind of tell me how this program came to be and the ideas that put this together?
Yeah, so it started when I started the culinary program about 5 years ago. And it was initially supposed to be not a cooking class. It was supposed to be an informational class. I wanted to teach kids how to be servers, how to be bussers. That's more of my background. I worked in bars and restaurants for a really long time. And I know a lot of other people have worked in restaurants while they go to college. So I always told my students when they graduate high school and they're going to college, I always push them. I'm like, go to a restaurant. The hours are great. The money's even better. You'll have flexibility. It's not like a rigid job where you have to go there hourly. If you need to take off, you can call out and get your shift covered. You have that flexibility. So I pushed hospitality on my students before I was a culinary teacher. And then I had an opportunity to write some curriculum. My old supervisor, Ms. Debbie Addis, also one of my mentors, fantastic leader and teacher extraordinaire. She came to me, she's like, are you interested in introducing any new courses? And she gave me a list of kind of pre-approved courses that we would be allowed to do. And I went down the list, I saw criminology, I'm like, that seems really interesting. And then I saw culinary. And I asked her, I was like, I would love to teach this. And right off the bat, she told me, unfortunately, we will never let you cook. She's like, there was a fire in the kitchen a few years ago. There's a lot of things going on. And I was like, that's fine. I was like, I want to teach students how to be a server, how to be a busser, how to be a host. I was like, and I have connections in Jersey City and Union City. I was like, I could probably get them a job. And that's kind of how it started. Fast forward to the first year I implemented the course was the year after COVID, when we're all virtual. And now I'm trying. So this was a weird kind of class to begin with. Like it was, I'm teaching kids how to be servers through virtual, and it just wasn't making sense. So I had to cook lunch and I had to cook dinner for my family, and it was technically a culinary class. So I asked my supervisor, I was like, hey, do you mind if we're home? Can I just model what I'm cooking for lunch and dinner with the kids? She was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We were all struggling virtually.
You're trying to figure it out. Yeah. If you had solved how to do serving through virtual, that would have been a whole different program. Yeah.
And try and get the kids engaged, right? It was a really rough time as educators, mm-hmm. and just for the world in general. People had their kids home with them and then trying to learn. So, kids are on laptops, parents are on laptops, and all trying to do this together. So as you can imagine, learning that way is not fun. So I wanted a way to kind of grab their attention. So I started cooking lunch with them, and then I started cooking dinner with them. And then a couple kids got super into it. And I started like this after school supper club because I had to cook dinner. And before you know it, I want to tell you, I would have 30 to 40 families, not kids. I would have them, their brother, their mother, their father online with me cooking dinner, with the Hispanic community, we're cooking Italian food, we're cooking Puerto Rican food. My wife's Puerto Rican. So we're cooking all these different things, having a lot of fun time. And my supervisor, I let her know, I was like, I think you should come on one of these Zooms. So she came on and, this is after school hours, and she saw these 30, 40
people. So they want to be there.
Yeah. And she saw what was going on and she was like, I think you got something here. Like they were just captive. And then, my personal philosophy, me and you have talked about this, is that I believe in this symbiotic relationship between the school and the community. And everything I do, I'm always trying to bring the community in, get us out into the community. So for me, it was duly advantageous. Not only was I getting students to participate and learn, but now I got their families coming in. Like it felt really, really good. Fast forward to the next year, she told me, she's like, all right, we're going to make this a cooking class. It was like, yeah. They put me in the culinary room. They gave me a small budget. And it just started like that. And then I can't even take the credit. It honestly comes down to the kids. That first year, once again, I had kids in my class, 6 o'clock in the morning, coming in, helping me clean. Like there's a few students who really helped out. I'll tell you their names. Diego, a student named Nelvin Fernandez, Esmeralda Lazo, Mariela Dorito. These students were in my class 6 o'clock in the morning, helping me clean, helping me prep, helping me put groceries away, staying after school to 7, 8 o'clock, just prepping. I mean, so they put in all the work. And then once again, we saw the traction. Like you got to kind of go with what the students are showing you. And, you know, in high school, and that's not just in Union City, it's across the nation. There is a truancy issue right now with getting kids in school ever since COVID. Like there's, you know, once you get to high school, you know this, like kids don't want to go to high school. They don't want to go to class. And I have these kids who are coming before school and after school on their own. So it just, it all came down to the students wanting to do it and then me allowing them to do it. So I'm like, all right, we want to do this. And then I had another good idea. I was like, I think we should run a business. Let's run a food truck. So I put a proposal to get a food truck in. And interesting enough, I wrote the proposal. I found a food truck. They were going to give it to us on consignment. And they were like, here, pay us as you go. This food truck is not being ran right now. Pay us as you go. I bring the proposal to the board. And they were like, we actually have a food truck. They were like, Chartwell's purchased a food truck for us a few years ago to enrich our food service, but it never took traction and it didn't work out well. And it was sitting at the old bus terminal on Bergen Line, like, flat tires. So we got it up. Me and the kids spent 2 weeks scrubbing that thing down, filling the tires up. And then we started doing what was called, we branded it as monthly lunch showcases. So once a month, we would do a special menu and we would sell lunch to here the staff at the high school. And that's another component of this. As much as we're talking about the students being engaged, the support from the staff here at the high school really helped us gain some traction. And they were super supportive of the students and the program, which allowed us to just continuously do more. And then, you know, and like I said, I would have an idea. And I believe in the bottom-up approach. Students had ideas. Before you knew it, we started serving dinner at the Perk Shelter annually. We would invite the senior citizens once a year, serve them a 3-course meal. So like I said, that symbiotic relationship with the community, getting kids out there. And we were just fortunate enough that everyone loves food. Everyone likes to eat. We live in this like kind of foodie world right now. And it took off. And in the sense that, you know, the students want to do it and the people, the community support it, right? It's like this, you need both of these things to work.
Well, I hear it's because the food's so great. I said that, you know, they have no choice but to support it.
No, I gotta say, man, the kids are talented, and that's what everyone would come up to me. Everyone thought that I was the one cooking. I would tell them, like, honestly, like I said, I believe in a bottom up approach. I honestly, and all my kids would tell you, and they even joked around, like, Oriani did nothing. Like, I give them the recipes and I train them, but full on, I believe, like, I want them to struggle too. So when we were on that food truck and things were going wrong, I didn't jump in. Like, no, you guys got to go. You guys got to figure this out. And they take pride in that. And like I said, you know, a lot of these students, and this is where another reason why it took off too. It was one of the first times I felt in these students' lives that they brought joy to other people that was outside of buying a gift for them. Right. Typically when you give, you know, you bring joy to people's lives and it buying them a birthday gift or something. But here it was them making something on their own from scratch. And then bringing joy. And then that's another thing, too. My class turned into them cooking for their friends and teachers. That's what they wanted to do all day. So I would teach them a recipe, and then they would come in like, I want to feed my friends. I want to go feed my teachers. I didn't hand an assignment in. I go make cookies for Mr. So-and-so, right? So it became that as well. And like I said, the kids were they were invested. We've done cook-offs. We partnered with local businesses. And yeah, the food's really good. And we also have like great partnerships. Like I know Gus from Cubita. He, you know, he came. He did the food truck takeover. He's super involved. He comes in every few months and trains the kids on new recipes and introducing them. So having allies like that, like it takes a village to do this.
Gus was definitely one person who let us know how one, he was doing the Union City food truck without letting us know. So he was covering, he was doing it for a while and not letting anyone know. And any students that could hold up and keep up with him for an hour or so, God bless them. But yeah, no, I it's amazing how you're able to bring everybody together. And I think it's shows very important to show how you could bring a community together, reimagine what education is. I think a lot of people want to like off put it, say, oh, the schools need more money and they need to do more stuff. But what you're saying is it's less about the money. It's more about getting with the community. Like the food truck was already sitting there. The you know, the kids are already ready to go. So
yeah,
it was more about getting it together. So tell me, I was going to ask, what's something that you think you've learned throughout these last few years of doing this program? What you learned about children in general, education?
That's a really good question. A lot. So I think the biggest thing I've learned is being a traditional teacher, going to college and learning what education's supposed to be. The biggest thing I've learned is that you got to kind of take a break and pause and kind of like survey the land. And what I mean by that is it's 2025. The traditional way of doing things, education specifically, needs to be changed, right? Just because we've taught this specific way for so many years doesn't mean it has to be the way that we have to do going forward. And when I say take a moment and look around society, the way that people are earning money in 2025 and becoming successful is different than it was 10, 20 years ago, even 5 years ago. So we have to really, I've learned that you have to be brave enough to take a chance, right? I think my other program that I'm really proud of is the entrepreneurship one. I kind of briefly talked about that one. And the reason why I'm so proud of that one is because similar to you and HudPost and everyone else that you've introduced me to, Gus, like entrepreneurship, honestly, is right now the way of the future, at least for earning money. And when I look at myself as an educator first, my primary goal is to prepare students for life after high school. What does that look like? Is it preparing them to go to college? Well, if that's what they want to do, yeah. But if society is changing and the way that we are earning a living is changing, I think education needs to change. That's probably the biggest thing I've learned is that education, in essence, it's antiquated in a sense. It's reluctant to change because, like I said, we've taught the same way for hundreds of years, right? There's been a teacher, there's been learning, but we're in a totally different society that we need to change education totally. The reference I like to, the analogy I like to use is, you know, and this is why it's so difficult to change education. It's like trying to change four tires on a moving car, right? That's what we need to do. We need to stop the car. We need to stop what's going on right now and relook at everything. And the way we're preparing students for high school, but way we're preparing them for college. You know, the 20-year experiment of going to college, getting a liberal arts degree, I don't want to say failed, but I've had friends who have sociology degrees and psychology degrees, and they're not making a lot of money right now. They're barely getting by. So I don't feel comfortable sending kids to college without knowing exactly what they want to do just to go get a degree. So it's, like I said, it's being brave enough to like say, no, it's okay to go into the culinary field. It's okay to go into trade. That's another thing that I'm really big on right now, the trades and the unions, and because the supply and demand is there. The supply is so long, the demand is so high. Like these are good paying.
Try to find a plumber in Union City right now. It'll take a while.
Yeah, no, it's like these are good paying jobs. So the pendulum has swung, right? Over the last 20 years of what education looks like and what success after high school looks like and like career and things like that. And I'm happy to kind of be a part of it because I want to be on the forefront to say, no, you know, let's change what we're doing. I believe in experiential learning. I believe in these kids getting their feet wet in these different industries and preparing them for life after high school. So like back to the Business Academy, we talked about this. Your team actually came here and trained my students on how to create videos, right? Using their phone. Mm-hmm. And then the reason why I like to bring that up is because that's something, a skill that's practical that they can use. So if these entrepreneurship students who were trained by your team, if they want to go into this later on, they don't need to go buy a $1,000 camera. They don't need to go buy all the lighting and the sound equipment. They have the tools right there. And that's really what I'm trying to
get. Yeah, some of those videos are ready to go today. So some of their skills are already there. I think one student, I don't know if she did it as a group or just one, but the video was better than some of my staff. I won't tell you which one, but no, they're doing amazing work now. So it's like just showing them that they can do it. I think that's what the programs that you're doing are showing people, are showing the students that they don't need to wait for permission to be an adult or permission to be successful. Like, these are things they could do now.
I'm so happy you talked about how good the quality is. And this is another thing, you talked about the food quality. Like, maybe there's another thing I learned. These students are talented, man. And I think that we got to take the training wheels off. And like, that's what I've done with the culinary program. I believe in that bottom up approach. Like, if you give them the flexibility and the autonomy to lead, like, we're opening up the cafe right now. This is from start to finish. Her name's Sarah Rodriguez. She was my last student before I got promoted. The design of the menu, the name of the cafe, Sip and Soar, the menu itself, the training, the SOPs, the standard operating procedures, the training, the opening and closing routines, or the side work. This student has done it all by herself, right? Wow.
So she's ready to open her own cafe. Whenever the opportunity arises, has every skill she needs at that point.
But more importantly, though, like that's a big, we opened up a business and I turned it over to a student. Like, I put it in her hands and she delivered. And that's a point I'm really trying to make, is like, we have to like let these students give them the opportunities to do that and also the opportunities to fail. So this cafe was supposed to open about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. And she struggled with creating all these documents. Now she finally got it, right? And this is what I was really trying to get at, is like,
well, 1 month is not that bad. I've opened plenty of restaurants back in my hospitality days, and we've been 6 months to years off. So 1 month, hey, I think anyone would be sign up for that.
Oh, no, I am. I 100% am, right? And she learned so much. But like I said, back to the videos that the students created for you, like, they are super talented. And it's been a joy watching students like her and other students I've had. Like, everyone, I ran a culinary program. Like, I made them head chefs. They always had roles and jobs, and they kind of governed themselves. And like, giving them those opportunities, I'm telling you, you give these students the opportunity, they will step up.
Yeah. And what I see is that when you give them that, I think once one student steps up, they all start to raise their standards because they see their peers having higher standards. So like the first round of videos, one of the students did amazing. Everyone kind of did half the work. They saw her video. The second round of videos, now everyone was trying to do better than her video. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like just amazing that, you know, they're pushing each other as well.
No,
and that's what I'm seeing there.
You've nailed it on the head. Every cohort of leaders and culinary students I've had, the one that came after were better. And it's because they were trained by the ones before, and then they set the standard in the bar. And then a new cohort were trained properly, and then their standards were higher. And every year, it's gotten better and better and better. And it goes to that testament. Like, there's a competitive nature. Like, we are Hudson County. Like, we got some dog in us, and we want to be the best, and we want to be competitive. And I also believe in that. I love when they get competitive. Right, I believe it's like the essence of success. Like, you should want to be the best. Take pride in what you do. And you've said it, the food is good because they take pride in the videos. Maybe not at first, but then when they realize that,
that one student she did well, they came out, they had 4K cameras, lighting. I go, oh, we didn't ask for all that. That's all they need, just a little push. You know, you're not the superintendent of a board of education, you're not on the board. So you're a staff that's able to make a change. Do you think that's available in every board of education system? Is that something that other teachers could aspire to say, I can do this? Or do you think it really is a community effort? Like, I'm saying this more for our listeners that may be in other towns, other cities, other counties, states, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's kind of hard, right, obviously, to talk about it. I could only talk about my experience and maybe offer maybe some guidance. So first off, we are blessed here, right? So that's part of it, right? I don't know if I went to another school district, if I would still even be in education, quite frankly. So it starts with my direct leaders who I've had. I've had my old supervisor of CTE, Debbie Addis, who kind of built the CTE program here at Union City High School in the district, really. She was the one who let me run that first culinary class. So she believed in me and kind of gave me autonomy, similar to how I did with my students. And then here at the high school, having Ryan Lewis as a principal, same thing. He believes, we're very like-minded, and he's the kind of person where I love ideas, and I'm always going to go with, bring ideas up, and he's always said, yeah, that makes sense. We're here. Our slogan here at the high school is kids come first. It's we have it printed in our admin conference room. So every decision here we make at the high school, we try to, when things are getting bogged down and we're having discussions about what's best for this student or what's best for the program of the school, we always kind of ground ourselves and say, well, the kids come first. Is what we're doing here putting them in the best position to learn? So having that kind of amazing leadership and letting them give me the autonomy to kind of just go and do what I want to do in a structured sense. I don't have free range, right? It's not the wild, wild west. But I come up with ideas and they're like, yeah, that sounds good. Now go do it. And then, so to other teachers who are looking to do this, right? What the first thing I would definitely suggest is you need a leader to believe in you. Whether that's your supervisor, your principal, and even here at the district, we have tremendous support at the Board of Ed as well, right? Financially, even ideas. It just the chain of operations goes through Ryan first, but trust me, we have the support of the board as well, and then also the community, right? So that's why it's a microcosm here. I don't know if it would be as I wouldn't be as successful, I think, if I were somewhere else. But that's not to say it can't be done. I would say if you're a teacher or an administrator and you're looking to do these things, one, find a leader that believes in you. Two, right, pirate and emulate. So it's much easier to look at another school that's doing something similar. So what I do.
You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Yeah. If they like your program, reach out to Pat. He'll talk
to
you.
So that's funny you say that. So my first couple of years, I was calling up all these different districts. So and all these different culinary programs and teachers and asking questions. And now it's the reverse. Now I'm getting constantly called, which I dedicate that time because I remember what it was like to be on the other line. Hey, I saw this online. You guys are doing something cool. How'd you do it? And there were some people who were supportive of me and talked me through it. And there were some people who just didn't have the time. So if anyone ever wants to chat, trust me, my send me email, call my line. I would be more than happy because I remember what it was like making those phone calls.
I'm a witness. I text Pat at least once a week. He'll reply back right away. So I appreciate that.
A leader, and then I'd reach out to the community. What I found, and even with working with you. Is that more people want to help than you realize, especially when it comes to public education, and especially if they're from that area. Now that we're older, there's a sense of pride, being from Hudson County. I wanted to be a teacher in Jersey City. It didn't work out, and I'm happy it didn't work out. I found my spot here. I found my home in Union City. But local businesses, people like Gus and other people who have just helped out, it really does take a village, and you'd be surprised. Just ask. I've gotten told yes, way more times than I've been told no. And then also resilience. So, if you're calling someone, so this is what I'm going to do. If we talk and you say you're going to help, I'm going to keep calling you until you officially tell me, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, which is perfectly fine. But until you tell me that, I'm going to call you.
Until you get that no. I tell everyone I'd rather hear a no than nothing.
Yes.
So you give me something. Yeah, give me a no.
If you keep telling me, oh, yeah, I still want to do it and I just don't have the time, we'll reach up. Okay, when? A month? Oh, I'm going to follow up in a month. So, and like I said, be resilient. Right. Reach out to
them. And I think that's something that rubs off on your students. I think that, they're getting that persona off of you, knowing that you got to be resilient, keep doing it. Those kids showed up at 6, closed at 7.
Well, I think one of my students told me this. She was like, it's one of those feel good stories. I don't think I've ever told someone this because I don't like to share. But she called me one of her role models, and she's like, you're one of the few people that when they say they're going to do something, like, no, like, it's not a pipe dream. Like, I mean, when I told them I wanted to get promoted, and then when I first told them I wanted to get the food truck, imagine this, you're a teacher in a class, like, guys, I want to open up a food truck. And then sure enough, 6 months later, we have a food truck. This year, I wanted to open the cafe. We got the cafe. So she told me, she was like, you're one of the few people, like, people talk about dreams and things that they want to do. She was like, you showed me that if you put the work in and you're resilient and you don't stop, she's like, it's not, these aren't pipe dreams. Like, these are, they're no longer called dreams. They're called goals. And she was like, it's nice to see, like, someone say they're going to do something and then go and do it and let no one stop you from doing it. As a role model, it's not just me. She sees what Gus has done. They've seen what you have done. They've seen what people who have been in their seats, like, no, this is not a pipe dream. Right. This is not, these aren't people who are out in the suburbs and have been privileged. No, these are people from Hudson County who had some grit, you know, that the Hudson County grit, and be wound, did something with it, and you absolutely can do it too.
And got a butter roll from the same deli store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not Gus. Gus is pretentious, but I definitely had a butter roll and some quarter drinks.
I miss those days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I used to get like a dollar.
but now I go to the Union City food truck, yeah. So it works out. But awesome. I appreciate you being on the show. Continue to push our future. And I think you're a great role model, not only for students, but for other teachers around the county, around the state. And, you know, the coverage we're getting, I think even around the country, I think people have been seeing your work. So thank you.
James, I really appreciate it. And like I said, you know, these last 2 years, what you and your team have really integrated yourselves here at the high school is nothing short of extraordinary. And, you know, featuring us, but then coming in and training the kids. And then we've talked about even what that growing partnership looks like. We talked about, you know, partnering up with local businesses and having students create marketing campaigns and you guys being involved. Like, this is what it takes. It's going to take someone like you and your team and these other community members to say, you know, it's not all on the teachers. It's, you know, even though these aren't our kids, this is our future. And coming in and just helping out. And like I said, I just feel blessed. I really do. I know the kids definitely feel it. After they graduate, you know, they come back here and they say, we miss it. And then they get jealous too. Like, after the students who came before you came, they were like, that's not fair. I wanted to do that. I'm like, yeah, but you guys got to do things that the ones before you didn't do. So it that's how it works. But no, I appreciate it. And I'm just looking to grow with you guys, like, and really reimagine what education should be.